How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to another edition of That Mill Podcast, edition number 54 of the 2021-2022 season. Join myself, Omer. I'm joined by my regular co-host, Mr. Mickey Simpson. Hello, mate. You all right?
Yes, mate. All good. I'm all good, mate. Hunky fucking dory, as they say.
Have a nice couple of weeks away on the international break. I mean, you've not been anywhere, but it's a look forward to me all coming back on Saturday.
Yeah. It seems really long, doesn't it? I know I've been recovering and stuff, but yeah, it just seems fucking so long. So long. It just, I don't know. I always hate these ones where you get two England games or whatever in it and loads of other shit going on, and it just seems to be way too long, mate. You sort of miss it. But hopefully the players are nicely recouped and we come back and spank Luton all over the park.
Well, we're coming fast back into, obviously, football. I think, what is it, 7 games to go now, maybe 8. I'm sure Kai will correct me. Welcome, Kai. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. If you thought that was long, Mickey, you look forward to the World Cup a little bit where it breaks up the Championship season. I'm looking forward to that. I mean, nice to see England playing that. If we get to the final and we win it, then brilliant. But I miss Millwall.
World Cup's not till fucking December, fella.
No, I think it's October.
Well, it breaks the season up, though.
It breaks 4 weeks, isn't it?
It's in December. End of November, early December. Yeah, that's it.
It breaks up 4 weeks, isn't it? I think, something like that.
Yeah, I think it comes back just after Christmas, the league does, but we'll look forward to that, and I'm sure we'll be doing bits and bobs to keep everyone tidying over at the time. But yeah, as mentioned, guys, edition number 54. If you're new around here, be sure to subscribe and like the video. We do appreciate any interactions we get in the comment section. It is 8 games to go in the football season, and hopefully we can talk all things positive about Millwall over the next 8 games, and we'll see where we end up. We're going to go straight to the first part, probably the only part of the show, and talk all things Luton away. All right, welcome back to the first part of the show. Kai, Mill come back to action against fellow informed side, I'd say. I mean, the last 6-7 games, we've both been up there. Luton Town at Kenilworth Road. You look forward to the trip to Luton on Saturday, mate?
Oh, it should be good. Yeah, it should be good. How that place could be a Premier League ground next year is madness. I know people said it, but like, it is absolutely crazy, that ground. Remember the walk a couple of years ago through the above someone's garden or something. It was ridiculous. But it'll be fun. As long as they all turn up, it'll be good.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, Luton's not the prettiest place to go, is it, Mickey? But it is a bit of a humding of a game to come back to after a couple of weeks away, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're a bit lively there as well, aren't they? The old Bill fucking love us there as well, mate. They seem to panic and the neighbourhood doesn't like us. And yeah, we're definitely up against it. It'll be an interesting game. I don't think it'll be a humdinger of a game. I don't think we're going to be scoring 6 or 7 goals. Here we go. Watch now. We're suddenly steaming there now and do that. Yeah. But I think Nathan Jones is a good manager. I think he's done well with him there. I think he's got them batting all together. Do you know what I mean? They're sort of working as a team. And to think of a few seasons ago where Luton were to where they are now, and potentially, as Kai said, you know, they could be a Premiership outfit next year. Yeah, I don't know if Luton as a town is ready for the likes of Everton scumbags and West Ham scumbags and fucking Tottenham and fucking Chelsea and all that lot coming down each and every week. But hey ho.
I think by humdinger, I mean, it will be an exciting game because I think, give Luton their dues, obviously they're third place in the league table and they score a lot of goals, especially in their home games, and they seem to be a handful for a lot of sides. I think what I will say is obviously there's an added needle, isn't there, Mickey, to a Luton away fixture. Like, I know it's one of the first fixtures I look out for on the fixture list this year. We couldn't go last season and obviously COVID put pay to that. I just think, you know, obviously Harris's last game was at Luton a couple of years ago and obviously goes all the way back to the 80s of that whole trouble back in the day at Kenilworth Road.
985.
And whilst we slag it off and, you know, Kai saying it's not a Premier League ground and we all say it, Luton's an absolute shithole. It's a proper old school football league ground. And for the game of football, when it's Luton Millwall, I don't think there's a lot better for a sort of almost derby feel to it. I mean, they're not quite London, but, you know, anything north of the M1 is up north. So it's a southern game, as we always say. And it's just got the materials, I hope. Obviously, it's a real kind of 6-pointer as well, Mickey. Like, it feels like this is a must win for Millwall, but also a must not lose at the same time.
Yeah. Can't think who it was who came out in the press this week and said, you know, each game is a... Who was it, Kai? It was in your paper.
Jed Wallace said it was a 6-pointer. I saw that quoted somewhere, but I don't know if...
It was Jed. Where he said that every game now, especially teams above us, we've got to win. And that's, you know, that's the mentality we need going into these games. And, you know, I suppose if we want to get into the playoffs, like I predicted on the round table, so you lot didn't, I think we potentially, if we just lose one and draw one out of our last remaining games, we'll be in the playoffs, and hey-ho.
So we're going to win 6 games, Kai, from our next 8. Talk to me, mate.
Oh, absolutely. That's what you want to do. But no, I mean, the recent run, the 8 games unbeaten was six games, 6 wins, 2 draws, wasn't it? If we do that, we'll make the playoffs, no doubt. Forget about the 2 draws, we're winning all 8.
87-88, we had a 5 unbeaten, and then coming into the last part of the season, we went on a 7 unbeaten, and I think we lost the last game.
See?
Could happen again. Could happen. I mean, we spoke about that obviously in our roundtable show with our special guests that we had on at the time, with Chris and Joe. Be sure to check that out, because obviously we thought it went down well, and a lot of people I know give us positive feedback, which we do appreciate. And we gave our predictions in there. And to be fair, I gave ourselves 74 points. I had, I think, 6 teams covered by 1 point in my table, which I don't think will happen. But 74 points, as like I think Harris said in his press duties when he was on the round table with Sky the other day, punchery for the game, because Mickey, 72 points, he said, would be enough to get there. So you never know, mate, do you? I mean, you've got to be in it to win it. And I think it's just, as a fan, it's exciting to be at this stage of the season, knowing we can go to all the games. This ain't COVID times right now. Knowing we can go to them, enjoy them, and just take each game as they come and see wherever the fuck we end up. But just give it a good go, mate.
I agree, 100%. I think it's just time to enjoy the football, and what will be will be. I honestly don't expect us to be in the playoffs, but if we do get there, it'll be great. I would just be happy to finish, you know, 7th, 8th, 9th, under 10th will be a result for me. And then get ourselves together, let Aldo, the football manager wizard, do his magic, and then next season we go into automatic promotion, up into the Premiership for a season, spank all the teams, get a visit to every stadium, and then get relegated with bundles of money for the next 3 years, and then we can live the high life in an established Championship team for the rest of eternity. We'll be fine, mate.
I felt like this was the same a couple of years ago when we had that game at QPR and it came towards the end of the season. You know, we don't have these opportunities very often, Kai, do we, mate? And I think there's 8 games to go now, and it is 8 cup finals. You know, it's not going to come around every time that you're in and around it. Typically, one good season is followed by one bad season at this level for us. And a bad season last year was still a top half finish, or 13th place, whatever it was. But whilst the opportunity is there, mate, it's a real onus for the players now. And obviously, we've got injuries coming back. We've all been talking about the last few weeks. It's like the gauntlet's been laid down for the players, and hopefully they can just execute it and just see where it takes us, I suppose, mate.
Definitely, no. I think the chance is there. So make sure to grab it with both hands now. It's just give it your all. If we fall short and we've given it our best shot, then no one minds. It's if they now don't turn up for these last 8 games and they sort of like...
Apart from you.
Oh, yeah, apart from me. Well, I've got to do a dip, haven't I? So, yeah. I mean, I'd be quite keen to see us make it by Bournemouth. So therefore, I can, yeah, either go down there or play cricket and be happy, you know?
And speaking of the injuries, mate, obviously... We saw, obviously, a return of Tom Bradshaw, Shea Ojo and Keith Nbird last time out, Kai. But rumours has it that Leonard and Ollie Burke potentially and should be maybe involved on Saturday. And that's 5, we'll say it the cliched way, 5 new signs, it feels like, in a sense, with 8 games to go. And the options available to the manager now is obviously something that he's been missing. But hopefully he can use them tools and change games if necessary, mate.
No, definitely. I can't remember the last time Leonard played. I feel like Leonard was out for a while, wasn't he? And then he came back in and then got injured again. Mm-hmm. So I'm really buzzing to see him back. He's one of them players. What?
I really didn't expect you to say I'm really buzzing for him to come back. It was just the way that you laughed, looked straight at the camera and went, I'm really buzzing. I'm thinking, do you really need to be telling fans that? You know, do you want to be telling your viewers that? Then, yeah, no, it's my head what went away. So, yeah, sorry about that.
No, I'm buzzing. No, mate, I actually am buzzing to see him back, because like he's a great player. He can play any position, and I think that versatility is key in the last 8 games, especially with injuries. How our injury record's been this year. I think if he needs to fill in every so often, hopefully he won't be playing at right back. But
yeah, that's a controversial subject. That is that's caused a bit of a tuffle over on on Twitter. So yeah, but look, hey ho, my sources are telling me that if he's fit, then Danny loses his place. I'd be interested.
We'll
to
see. I think Danny's held.
I don't think he should. Yeah, I don't think he should.
He's been injured for the last 21 games, so it's been a long time coming. And I suppose, in a sense, he is that injury-prone player that we don't really think of. I think he done. Go on, Kai. You're going to tell us what he done. What was his injury? Was it some sort of quad, maybe, or something?
Something like that. Yeah, I actually don't know. It's been so long. I've completely
fucking call yourself a journalist.
But 21 games is more than half a season, and I suppose it's going to take him a while to get back up to speed anyway. So I don't expect him to come straight back in, Kai. But he is that sort of player that I feel like we have missed in the middle, that can drive forward on the pitch and kind of carry us up the field at times. And obviously, Mitchell and Saville have nailed down their kind of positions, you feel like. And obviously, they're in there on merit. But it's great to have Keith and Bell available after the last game and have Leonard available and just have them sort of options that can change the game, like I said there, and try and win the games. What do you reckon, Guy?
No, definitely. I'd just like to point out there was an ankle injury.
There you go.
Yeah, I looked at my phone too.
Well, you shouldn't. My phone's nowhere near me. I remember that. It's good to have these players back. Boost the midfield. Billy Mitchell's been superb all season. Saville's been really good in the last couple of games. But having that competition for places can only be a good thing. Only push players on even more. And it stops players allowing themselves to maybe be comfortable. I'm not saying they are at the moment. But, you know, if there's not enough options and players start to think, well, I'm going to be on the team sheet anyway. So it doesn't really matter if I work hard or chase that one ball that could lead us to, you know, nicking it and scoring. So, yeah, competition for places are good. Depth in squads important in the last 8 games, and we look like we're going to have that, which is great news.
How far away is Sean Hutchinson, would you reckon, Kai? Is he not available for Saturday?
Nah, he's not available for Saturday. I think Tuesday will come too soon as well. I think it'll be Saturday after. I think he's back in. I think he is back in training. I believe. I think he might be back in training now, or he could be. I think after the weekend, one of the two. But hopefully next Saturday will be the one.
I think we should try and organise and get you to a training session to watch an update on a pod for us. You know, give us a training ground update. Do you know what I mean?
Obviously, I've done that before. I should stand outside. I need to get funny looks from the security guy.
Like, the club would hate it. The club don't want to reveal who's training and who's not training. And like, imagine Kai standing there. It's like the Bielsa gate all over again with Derby and Leeds. Like, but
we get you a Burberry Mac or something. Do you know what I mean? And a pair of binoculars and all that. So yeah,
thing is, you say this.
Do a crowdfund.
The funny thing is, you say this, but in the pre-season game against Fulham, you know the one I went to watch and that video from. So Callum, the guy that was staying with us, the South African guy, went. He's in bed watching telly. I've gone past the training ground on the way back. I've gone. There's a game on. He goes. So I get back, text him, get ready. So he gets up, he's ready. He thinks it's like big thing going on or something. I didn't even tell him what was going on. I said, we're going to watch Mill versus Fulham at the training ground. He went, oh, for goodness sake, I thought it was something big here. So he went there. We took portable chairs and sat on like these chairs outside the training ground with our lunch and watched the game. Perfect.
It's ideal, isn't it? I remember back in the day, a bit of a thing for me as well, because I used to live local to the area, and I remember being about 14, 15 years old and actually going to watch training a couple of times. And I think it was when Harris was an assistant manager or the 23s coach, and he invited me in to come and watch it and stuff like that, which obviously was testament to the man there. But I think nowadays it's a kind of obviously with COVID as well, because you know, you guys love talking about COVID, but obviously
it's a harsh place now. He stopped it beforehand because I remember when I used to have a position at the club, and you're not winning bingo with me tonight.
You had a position in the club.
I remember going over to the training ground for something to meet up with someone or do something over there. And this fella come in with his kid and he wanted to get his shirt signed. And Neil went, do you want to come and meet the players? So the dad and the son were like, yeah. And he looked straight at the dad in the eye and he went, not you, fella. You know I am. He said, you watch me every week in the terrace. He said, you know exactly who I am. You know I look after your boy. I'll take your boy, you wait here. And I went in with Neil, and Neil took him everywhere inside the training ground, got every player to sign his kid's shirt, have a picture with him, everything else, and then walked out. I said to Neil, I said, why wouldn't you have the dad in there? He went, do you know how many dads come here? He said, and then fucking bring them in with their boy. He said, and then they start cutting off the player they don't like once they get in front of him. he said, we've had that so many times. He said, from now on, it don't happen. He said, I'll take the kid in.
Yeah.
He said, and I'll have them sign and all that. He said, but I'm not taking fucking great ass men in. He said, because it normally don't turn out nice. He said, there's normally a player they fucking hate. And once they get in front of him, they normally go,
why are you playing like a wanker for? Blah blah blah.
I had that when I was younger. I was 14, and I think it was my mum actually. She mugged the club, and she said, "Oh, I think I was. I can't remember where it was. I think it was before my exams." And, you know, I was quite stressed and whatever for my exams. And I went in and they said I could come in and basically meet the players. And my granddad was allowed in. It was Harris at the time. And we went in. My granddad's 75, so he's not going to do anything. So they weren't worried about him. But they just needed a guardian there, they said. So went in. We got there at 8:30. My granddad's like just driven straight into the car parking bit. Just parked straight into the training ground. The guys come over and goes, nah, you can't park in here, mate. It's already full enough in here. You can't park in here. So he's
can't park there.
No, you can't park there, mate. So we've parked on the road, and we went inside, had breakfast with the players.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Get a bacon sandwich and get a picture signed and like some stuff. And then upstairs in his office, and he comes down and he goes, oh, "I'm going to bring the manager down to speak to you for a bit." But no lie, I thought it's going to be like a 2-minute conversation, just say hello, whatever. He stood there with us, watched training with us, and stood there for about half an hour talking to us. Brilliant guy, Neil Harris.
The anecdotes that you never expect to hear on the podcast, but I think that's testament to the club that we
are.
My
11-year-old girl,
Harris is like.
My girl got her 11th birthday present from Millwall when I was doing everything I'd done as a little thank you. And I said to him, like, you know, can you make me look like a super dad? And they gave her a trip to the training ground for her 11th birthday, where she got a ball, a shirt, and she had lunch with the players, watched the training in the morning, watched all the training, all of that, and then went and had lunch with all the players afterwards and all that, and they couldn't have fucking treated her any better, mate. They were superb.
You've been Tenerife. Mickey's been 11 or 8, so he's one up to you there, mate. I'm
sorry. Well, I've had Murray Wallace deliver something to my house. Is that good?
No, I haven't had that.
I'm still going to stop there now, boys.
Did you have your tickets or the shirt delivered to you?
Yeah, so I contacted Murray on Twitter and gone, oh, can I get a signed shirt for my granddad? I was, you know, it was just I think I was like 15. And I messaged him and he said, yeah, no worries. So he said, I'll post it for you. Anyway, I was in. And he texts me, he goes, oh, I'm just walking by your house now. I'm going to the gym. Is it all right if I drop it by? So I went, oh my God, no way. Anyway, disappointing news is I went to get my granddad to come round. And of course, he drops it off when I'm not there, doesn't he? I was gutted. So he left it behind the stand just outside with like a little thing on it and like a shirt. Like, I just thought that was brilliant. Funny enough, the next game he got injured, and I said to my granddad, "That's all your fault, that, because he was going well before he gave you that." So, but he honestly, brilliant guy. I watched. We've got like one of them Ring doorbells, and I must have watched that footage about 300 times. Just him looking on the drive, just like looking around, then going, ding, putting it down. I was like, my God, Murray Wallace is on my drive. That is brilliant.
We're getting that footage and we're putting that on the YouTube. Get that footage on YouTube, surely. Yeah. Don't panic about that one. But no, I've not had any of them come around my house, mate. So,
should we steer it back to the football?
let's go back to Luton. Luton's had quite a good running. I think they've had the last two games, they've had two wins, haven't they? And I think, obviously, we've had a win-win, draw-draw, lose, haven't we?
Yeah, Luton, the last two games, 4-0 win against Preston at home and 3-1 win away just before the international break away at Hull. I think the Preston game in particular sticks out to me and kind of indicates what a tough game it's going to be here, chaps, because obviously, you know, Preston are a decent side of this division. No, like, slouches. Obviously, they're not really performing to where they'd want to be, Preston, but budget-wise, they tend to be mid-table, sort of a bit higher than us. But with Luton, you know, they seem to just score goals for fun, Kai, don't they? And I think in particular, what we're going to struggle with on Saturday, and we always do this against certain sides, is teams that move the ball fast, can get the ball moving, pass it quick, spread the play quick, we're going to struggle there. But I guess the players just got to be on their song to try and match them up, haven't they?
Yeah, I think the game plan will probably most likely be to slow the game down in whichever way you can do, especially if we get obviously take the lead. I think it'll be, you know, make sure everything takes, you know, slow it down. You have to sort of do stuff to, you know, slow the game down, do it. I think it's quite tactical. Not saying like time waste or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, you know, when you've got the ball, get the ball, reset, pass it around at the back, you know, just slow the game down to get the tempo down. Because as soon as a team starts popping the ball around against us, like, quickly, we're very quick to be out of position and sort of chase the ball rather than be in position and, you know, standard setup. We tend to bomb out, and because they want to win the ball back, they run, they sprint out to the player. He pops it past him, and they, before you know it, they're there in behind the player that's just come. So it's annoying, but hopefully. Yeah, it'll be good on Saturday, and hopefully we've been working on that over the international break. Obviously, we have a lot of players out on, you know, international duty, so, you know, there could be a couple of players that wouldn't be maybe not up to scratch, but, you know, hopefully it'll be all right.
And Mickey, a resurgence for a certain Fred Onyedimba the last couple of games for Luton. He scored in that 4-0 win for Preston. And he played right wing back last time out, supposedly. So that'll be an interesting sight if he plays against us on Saturday, mate.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see whether or not he gets loads of dog shit abuse or not.
I think he will,
to be fair.
Whether it's right or wrong is another contentious one for that. But I think the club invested a lot into him.
I think he's another Lewisham John, isn't he? When you play him regular and play him in a position he can play in, he performs well. When you play him out of play, he don't do a lot. Same as Lewisham John. Lewisham John was, you know, when he played elsewhere, he was doing all right, especially when he went to Wickham, wasn't it? Was it Wickham? Yeah, it was Wickham, wasn't it?
Portsmouth, and he was there. A few others.
Yeah, but before he went to Portsmouth, he was doing all right there. And was it was Wickham, wasn't it?
No, I don't think Mark was that Wickham. I don't recall. Fred Onyedimba went to Wickham on loan before he went to them on permanently. So maybe that's what you're thinking.
Maybe. Where did he go before he went? Midlands, didn't he? Where did he go?
Lewisham John. He was at Portsmouth. Come on, Kai. Where did Marcus go on loan? He went to like Torquay at one point. Lewisham,
I thought you were talking about some different player. I have no idea who you're talking about. That's why I just put, who's that? I had no idea.
Marcus.
Yeah, no, Marcus. Yeah. Marcus is at Pompey. He's now he was at Doncaster. Now he's at...
That's it, Doncaster. Sorry. Yeah.
Lincoln, so, yeah, he's moved around a bit, hasn't he, a fair bit since he's gone.
Yeah, that's it. But, yeah, it should be an interesting game. And, obviously, I think with Fred in particular, you know, he's a player that's come and gone. And I think it'll be interesting to see how he does. But also Harry Cornick up front, Kai. And we know well about him after our 2-0 defeat earlier in the season, which was one of the last times we've lost at Den, really, since that time. And we've not lost many at home. And it's obviously testament to that kind of game being a turning point, I feel like, in the home games in particular. But Harry Cornick even caused trouble for Chelsea in the FA Cup. So he'll definitely be a live wire on Saturday, won't he?
Yeah, he's just so clever with his movement. He's just so quick and he can finish. When he gets in that position, you know he's going to tuck it away most of the time. He's very clever. Movement's good, very quick feet. And I think Luton don't go up this year. I think they're going to struggle to keep him. He's a really, really talented player. I think he calls Malone real well. Malone, he sort of drifted out to the right a couple of times and then he went central and he caused our centre-backs a real problem. But that day, Luton were really good. And maybe they didn't get the credit they deserved for that game. I think we sort of saw it as Millwall really poor, but I think it was Luton were really good. They knocked the ball around so easily against us. And I don't think that was down to Millwall. I think that was more down to how good they were that day. They were exceptional.
Yeah, 10 no, league goals in 31 games. 10 league goals in 31 games he's got this season. He strikes me, I don't know if he's ready for the Premier League. He's 26, so like he's kind of had knockbacks in his past and he's kind of come back from it in that sense. I don't know if he's shoehorned maybe into the Championship. Maybe a club that gets relegated maybe picks him up. But I think you might have said before, Kai, he's like the Jack Grealish kind of the Championship. But you might have told me that, I feel like. Yeah, he plays like him as well, doesn't he? He's got the short socks as well. Like he tries to get his hairstyle like him. And he is a bit of a Marmite sort of footballer. But he's definitely a player that you'd rather in your team than out of it, I feel like.
Yeah, no, definitely. Absolutely. I think he's got all the traits to go places. I know he's probably, you know, ages. I know he's 20, 26, but still, if he was 22, 23, he'd be really exciting. He is still really exciting, but you feel like he needs that move in the next year or two to really kick on. I feel like he is probably Luton's equivalent of Jeb Wallace. But then again, they've also got goals coming from other places. That Adebayo is, I think they picked him up from, I think it was somewhere like Doncaster. It was somewhere like that. I don't think it was Doncaster. It was a team like that. And he comes along and he's just quick, tall. And
Walsall,
that was it. I see that place every time I go on the motorway. So, yeah. Yeah. No, he's a good player, and he's got 15 goals, I think, this year. But Burnley are interested in him next year.
14 league goals.
You know, you could be putting this in the show notes, like, hey, you know, rather than shout out.
I'm taking the piss. That's what I'm trying to do.
I'm not actually
trying to whisper. He's got 14 league goals.
So this is actually, these stats have come from Football League World. So, yeah,
wow. I think it's 15 goals in all competitions. It makes you feel better. So you're onto something there. But Mickey, another player that I wanted to name drop who started 9 of their last 11 league games in midfield, a certain Alan Campbell's found his way into the side and kept the position. Do you remember Alan Campbell, Mickey?
He was linked with us. He was linked with us in the summer, wasn't he? Yeah.
What team did he play for, Mickey?
He didn't play for Leeds.
Go on, Kai. So what team did he play for?
Was it Motherwell?
Yeah, she was Well, thank you.
It was Motherwell. You were just, I knew you were lining up that joke.
I wanted to tee you up for that.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, she's great, thanks.
The thing that's going on here, right, is how many people now listening to this will try that joke on someone else over either the day they're listening to this or over the next couple of days. Because when we put it on Twitter, we had someone turn around and say, what team did he play for? And we done all of that. We were like, yeah, no, she's fine. Thanks. You know what I mean?
I didn't want to get downstairs, mate, so.
That's it. But, I think he had to buy this time, obviously. He went into the side, he signed on a free transfer from Motherwell. And then, obviously, he found his way slowly into the team. And now he seems to cement himself in there, Mickey. My point being, obviously, he was obviously linked with him and he went to Luton instead. I don't know if we actually did try to make an offer for him or go in for him in the end, but obviously we have an abundance of midfielders anyway, so people argue whether we needed him anyway. But it'd be interesting to see how he fares up against us, and he seems to have made himself at home in that Luton side at the minute.
It's one of those players what we were fucking really talked about, but we didn't get him. But it's always the way with us, isn't it? There's a player what we're interested in and then they normally come back to bite us on the arse. They sort of have the grabbing effect, didn't they?
Grabbing.
Yeah, Lewis.
Yeah. But nonetheless, I think we've said enough about Luton. We know they're attacking side. I think they've scored 56 goals this season. I will confirm that for you in 2 seconds. Yeah, 56 goals, 42 against in 38 games, as opposed to our 39 goals and 36 against. So they score a lot of goals. At home, they seem to be, you know, quite prominent as well with their goal scoring. And I think it's just set out to be an interesting affair. I think it's just going to be one of those games where I think it'll be down to the fine margins. I do feel like that. I think it'll be who gets the better of who in individual battles. You know, Malone down the left-hand side against Cornick, like in the previous game, like Kai referred to. Can a Phoebe get the better of their centre-halves? I know Reece Burke's injured for them and he's a big miss. Or can Billy Mitchell and Saville get one over on Campbell in the midfield? It's just set up, Kai, isn't it, for a tantalising game. And it'll be an interesting watch, I feel. And perhaps maybe the game of the day in the Championship, because two decent sides in form, two sides that can go out there and kind of cement. I think if we win the game, we claw them back. If they win, they're going to be maybe an outside chance of getting even to the top two if the top two start to falter.
Yeah, definitely. Will Murray Wallace, Cruyff turn, Fred Onyedinma. Probably. He's got a bit of a knack for doing that recently. And he's like, I think he's had a Cruyff turn per game recently, which has been quite impressive.
I don't want to jinx it, but I'm waiting for him to get caught out. I'm just saying, it's because if he keeps doing it, teams will suss up.
Murray's safe as houses.
So if that happens on Saturday, remember to come back and leave a note saying, fucking Omar, fucking the curse.
Well, you know, just got to be preventative here. But should we talk a bit about us anyway and what we think our team lineup will be?
What do you reckon?
What were you going to say, Mickey? Go on. If you wanted to move it somewhere else, you're more than welcome to, mate.
No. We move it where I was going to move it after that. I didn't think about the team thingy, but yeah. Barton goal. And then go Murray Wallace, Ballard.
The tall 6 or 6.5 we got.
Yeah.
What's his name? Come on, Mickey.
Cooper. Yeah.
Cooper, no, yeah.
I thought you were going to say this.
Who else would I put in there? I don't know.
Two wing backs. Come on. You don't need to look. You've got this. Come on. Mickey's got this.
I'll go Danny on right back.
Yeah.
Left Malone side. On left back.
Two midfielders.
Billy Mitchell and
are you thinking of names or you're just debating who to go with?
Debating who to go with.
Up front, I'll put
a Phoebe and I'll probably put Bradshaw and I'll probably put Jed sitting behind him. So do a two and then put Jed behind.
Interesting.
I'll put Saville in the midfield with Mitchell.
That's your team.
Yeah.
I can't argue that, to be honest.
And I'll go for 1-1.
I was going to ask predictions afterwards, but go on. I can't argue that team, I don't think, to be honest with you, mate.
Proud are you of me?
I never doubted you.
I mean,
I'd like to make one point. I'd probably play Bart, Malone, that Murray. I'd just like to point out Danny, not Leonard.
Yeah, boss. Yeah, definitely Danny.
Really. Yeah, probably the same team, Mickey. That's quite impressive. Yeah, well done.
Because I think Bradshaw and Afobe obviously struck up that partnership, didn't they, before his injury?
Yeah, that's what
you hope they rekindle that too.
Will he be fit to play 90? Start.
I think he's had 2 weeks full training now. I mean, I think they had the first week off. I don't know if I'm gospel, but I know a lot of their socials, a lot of them were maybe away or really at the training ground. But obviously, it's an interesting kind of decision to make. But I do think if he's available and he feels up for it, you've got to start him and go for it. And I think that will indicate what Rowett's thinking going into this game. Is he thinking edge it out, maybe try to get the draw and consolidate where we are, or is he thinking, let's go for it, 8 games to go, it'll be interesting. I thought I'd put one unsure of because I think this kind of game and old school stadium might suit him, Michael Kiefenbeld. I think I'm not saying play Keith over Mitchell or Saville, but I do think at old school Kenilworth Road, a game where there's going to be a bit of bite to the game, I think it's made for Kiefenbeld, and I would consider playing him over Saville. No, maybe even instead of Mitchell. It's a banana skin one. I'm not complaining. I'd probably go with the team Mickey said there, but I don't know what you guys reckon. Kai, what do you think of the potential of a Kiefenbeld tackle at Kenilworth Road, mate, going into the stands?
Is it worth playing Keith for maybe the first half?
Yeah.
And then
bringing
Saville or Mitchell. Yeah, and then swapping him at halftime, bringing on...
It wouldn't surprise me if he goes 3 midfielders. And
yeah, that's what I was thinking, yeah.
Because I think it's that sort of game where they're going to have a lot of the ball and he'll want players behind the ball, but at the same time, he'll want the kind of two up top to counter attack. And if to throw the spanner in the works, it wouldn't surprise me if he went Jed and Afobe up front and he had 3 holding midfielders that were kind of trying to shuttle the game side to side and then have the wing back sit further back. And if it's still 0-0 with half hour to go, then you might see a midfielder come off. Then you might see something a bit more attacking come forward. And then this, what's great about that, exactly there, Ollie Burke, Shea Ojo, Kiefenbeld, if he doesn't play on the bench, Ryan Leonard on the bench. It's great to have them options back, isn't it, Mickey? And that is the crux of it. Like, we've got options to choose from now, and it feels great to have that.
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. I think it's going to be a good thing. So, yeah. We'll have to...
Corporation is 1-1 from you, right?
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be many goals in there.
Who scores for Millwall?
I'm going to go Bradshaw if he plays. If not, Afobe and Cooper.
That's Afobe and Cooper. You said 1-1.
Yeah, that's
2-1,
isn't it? Yeah, fuck it. I've just got myself into.
You got distracted there, so we'll let you off. You got distracted, but come on,
who's going to score? My daughter came in the room, so yeah.
Which one?
I'm going to go.
Or keep her own goal.
No. I'm going to go. Yeah. No, I'm going to go Afobe. No, I'm not. I'm going to go Bradshaw to score if he plays. If Bradshaw doesn't play, then I'm going to go with Jed.
4 different players were mentioned there, Kai. So, I mean, go on. You narrow it down for me, mate. What's the score going
to
be?
That could be 4-0 now, then.
That
really threw me as well. I was really concentrating on a fucking... On a flow, and then, yeah, no, I've just been...
We're professionals around here, if you're new around here. As you know, we can see it. We're professionals. So, go on, Kai, give me a prediction, mate.
I mean, I'm not going to be as optimistic as I said before the podcast, because that's not really going to happen, most likely. But I'm going to go 1-0. I go Bradshaw.
I do think there's a bit of the gauntlet laid down to the players, and I think they're going to rise to the occasion. I really do. And I'm going to say we're going to win 2-1. And I think we're going to score a last-minute winner in front of the away fans. And it's going to be big, juicy Jake. There you go. 2-1 Millwall, I'm going to go with. And I'm going to say we'll take an early lead through Tom Bradshaw. That's my prediction.
And if you're a betting man, get a bet on Jake to score any time in the game. And he's normally about 12, 14... Nines upwards, so I'd have a cheeky 5 or a 10 on there, mate. We might just earn you some beer money for the afternoon.
Well, there you go. That's a half-hour ramble about the game on Saturday. Is there anything else, Mickey, you want to put forward before we shoot tonight, mate?
Just want to say well done to that fantastic journalist who is Ryan, someone who writes for a 2-bob fucking website. Again, writing a pointless story, slagging Millwall off again. So yeah, congratulations to you, fella. You could have come to us and asked us questions about Recast. We're on Recast.
We could have told you some truths about recast and the benefits and the features and everything else for it. But no, hey-ho. You could have used us, that Millwall podcast spokesperson. We could have actually put a name to it. But hey-ho, it is what it is. Yeah, I think it's good for the club financially. I think it's benefiting the club well. Yes, okay, I agree with some of the comments or what people make about it, that it's not necessarily a thing. But if you play it to the right articles, you get people, you promote your links, you get people to sign up on the back of your links, and you watch the ads, which you just keep clicking while you're doing something else, you make free credits. Those free credits we watch. We use our account. We don't put money in our account. We use free credits. Between us, we just rake up the credits, and then we watch Millwall stuff. We'll be using our credits for tomorrow to watch the under-23 game. So, yeah, hey-ho, is what it is, isn't it? We're enjoying it so far. So, yeah, hopefully you will too soon, Ryan, instead of penning your bullshit fucking stories as always. But hey-ho, you're the one in the national papers. Oh, you're not. You're fucking the Two Bob website. All right. Kai, you work for a proper newspaper, don't you, Kai? That's how you do journalism.
Yeah. On recast, I do agree with some of the points you made there, mate. And I think it's obviously a new platform, and no one likes change. I didn't initially like change. I was saying, I was quite open about that. But I do think with the club, the benefits the club receive for it, and for the concept of it in the first place, like what you put into it, you get out of it. And that is the crux of it. And I think that is ultimately the bottom line of it. And it's something that in years to come, we'll probably look back on and go, why is that a contentious thing? But we don't like change, Millwall fans. So I do get it. So
it's because of everything. It's a better system because everything else like YouTube, you know, doing stuff yourself and all that, it's all per click, per like and all of that sort of stuff. And you don't get, they offer a package where it's a completely different, it's a completely different system, unlike what's been seen before. And, you know, it's viable for the people who are providing content to it. You can watch our videos on there early. If you want to watch it early, then you pay, you know, you pay a fee for it. It's 15 credits and you pay for that. It's a couple of adverts to watch and you can watch it early. If you don't want to, then you wait a couple of hours and it's on the podcast, or you wait a day, 2 days and it goes on YouTube. So we run a different, a different format to possibly the way Millwall does it. But, you know, it is what it is. It's a benefit to the club. It's just sometimes negativity around the club earning money, especially after the last 2 years they've had, is hey-ho. But if you watch adverts, then you're not actually paying any money, but you're still giving the club money through someone paying you to watch adverts. So it's not costing you a penny. You just have to watch loads of adverts or not watch them. Just keep clicking the phone.
So unlike people that work in journalism to gun for the club to get a bit of exposure, right? Not quite, but there you go.
No, I don't think he's ever been forgotten for the last time he fucking stitched fans up as well. So there we go. It's always good to make a name for yourself, but sometimes it's better to do it in the right way.
We'll round it up here anyway, and we'll leave it at that. We've got nothing else to put forward, have you, Kai? You've got nothing to put forward to the show, mate? All good?
No, apart from there's been no mutes today, which has been quite impressive.
I know. I did notice that. And there's a couple of times where Mickey was on mute and then he unmuted himself. And I was like, fair play. Yeah, so we're near faultless show today. I hope you've appreciated that. If you're new around here, be sure to like this video, subscribe if you're new, and be sure to give us a follow on any social media platform, That Mill Pod. We're also on Spotify. Obviously, if you leave us a review on there, we do like to get your reviews and obviously see what's what. The same with Apple and all other podcasting platforms. That's it for edition number 54 of That Mill Podcast. We'll be back hopefully on Monday to talk all things 3 points at 10:05. Good guys, and see you later.